Good evening, church. Our text for study this evening is Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 to 14. I read to you Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 to 14. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the outer court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies there, their dead bodies 3.5 days, and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another. Because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, once again we want to come and thank you and praise you and adore you and worship you, and we thank you for access to your very throne room that we can call you Abba, call upon your holy name, cry to you because you are a loving heavenly Father, seek your face. Thank you that we can behold your glory because of what you have done for us, what you have done for us in and through your Son. We thank you, Lord, for you left glory for us. You came, you shed your blood on the cross to forgive us of our sins, to give us the free gift of eternal life and the joy of abundant life. We thank you, O blessed Holy Spirit, that you have come to dwell in us. And we thank you that you open our eyes. Yes, you are the Lord who leads us into all truth. You are the Lord who is our teacher. So this evening hour we pray that you will speak. You will speak, O Lord. We don't want to hear the voice of man. We want to hear your voice. So speak to us, we pray. Write your word upon our minds, upon our hearts. Oh, come. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's once again go through the outline of Revelation. Each time it is good to do so. The outline of Revelation. The key theme is Jesus Christ, the victor. The key verses, Revelation 1:19 and Revelation 17:14. The things which you have seen. In chapter 1, that's John's vision of the exalted Christ. The things which are, this is based on Revelation 1:19. The things which are, chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, which are the messages to the seven churches. And then the things which shall be hereafter, that is from chapter 4 right up to chapter 22. And we see in chapter 4 and 5, the throne in heaven where there is worship. Chapter 4, God is worshipped as the creator. Chapter 5, he is worshipped as the redeemer. Then the tribulation begins on earth. Once the church is raptured, chapter 6 to chapter 19, we have the tribulation described on earth. The first half of the tribulation is chapter 6 to chapter 9. The middle of the tribulation is chapter 10 to chapter 14. And that's where we are in our study in Revelation. Then the last half of the tribulation, which is chapters 15 to 19. And then we see the kingdom of Christ in chapter 20. Then the new heavens and the new earth in chapter 21 and 22. So today we look into Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 to 14, which is the text that we just read. Now we said last time that in Revelation chapter 10 and 11, there are three important testimonies. Testimony number 1, from a mighty angel, Revelation 10 verses 1 to 11. And we identify that angel as our Lord Jesus Christ. Number 2, from the two special witnesses, Revelation chapter 11 verses 1 to 14. Number 3, from the elders in heaven, Revelation chapter 11 verses 15 to 19. Now we've already looked at the testimony of the mighty angel, and we said that this mighty angel is most likely none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we look into the testimony of the two witnesses, Revelation 11 verses 1 to 14. First, the ministry of the witnesses, verses 1 to 6. The place is Jerusalem. The time is the first half of the tribulation. Revelation 11 verses 1 to 2. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Israel is worshipping again. And where is Israel worshipping? In the restored temple. In the restored temple. And how is this temple built? This temple is built through the protection of the Antichrist, whose true character has not yet been revealed. To spiritualize Revelation chapter 11 verse 1 and 2 and make the temple refer to the church, that creates a number of serious problems. For one thing, how could John measure an invisible body of people? Even if the church was still on earth, how can John measure an invisible body of people, even if the church is still on earth? If the temple is the church, then who are the worshippers? And then what is the altar? And since the church unites Jews and Gentiles into one body, that is the church, neither Jew nor Gentile, we are one in Christ. Why are the Gentiles segregated in this temple? Leave out the court which is outside the temple. Do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. So obviously this is the restored temple, Jewish temple, built under the protection of the Antichrist. He makes a pact with the Jews. In the middle of the tribulation, he breaks that pact. His true character has not yet been revealed, but will soon be revealed. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11, we read, "Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands." You see, the Gentiles are segregated. But in the church, neither Jew nor Gentile. So in this temple, we find Gentiles are segregated. So this is the Jewish temple which is restored, built under the protection of the Antichrist. It seems wisest to interpret this temple as an actual building in the holy city of Jerusalem. When Nehemiah and Ezra built the temple, Nehemiah, the walls and the streets of the walls were built of Jerusalem were built. In Nehemiah 11 verse 1, "Now the leaders of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people cast lots to bring 1 out of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem." And Jerusalem is the holy city. Jerusalem, the holy city. And 9 tenths were to dwell in other cities. Again you see the holy city. Nehemiah 11 verse 18. "All the Levites in the holy city were 284. In Daniel 9 verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. for your holy city, to finish the translation, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. The Lord was saying through John, I own this city, I own this temple, and I claim both the city and the temple for myself. The Old Testament background is found in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 40 to 41, you find the background, and also Zechariah chapter 2 verses 1 to 3. I read to you in Zechariah chapter 2 verses 1 to 3. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length. And there was the angel who talked with me, going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him. So this is a literal temple. And what John did was especially significant, because the Gentiles had taken over Jerusalem. Antichrist has broken his agreement with Israel. The Gentiles have taken over Jerusalem. Daniel 9:27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That is the Antichrist. He will confirm a covenant with many, that is the Jews, with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Antichrist had broken his agreement with Israel. And now he is about to use that temple for his own diabolic purposes. And you see this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 3 to 4. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now all of this will be elaborated in Revelation chapter 13 verses 1 to 18. And God willing, we will study that passage in detail later on. But let me just read it to you. Revelation 13 verses 1 to 18. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle. Blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now Jesus said in Luke chapter 21 verse 24, "And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Now the times of the Gentiles, when did the times of the Gentiles begin? The times of the Gentiles began in 606 BC when Babylon became the world empire. Babylon invaded Judah, took captive Judah and Jerusalem people into Babylon. And that was when the time of the Gentiles began. And when will this end? The time of the Gentiles began in 606 BC. And it will continue until Jesus Christ returns to deliver Jerusalem, the holy city, and redeem Israel. Zechariah 14. Let me read the whole passage. Zechariah 14 verses 1 to 21. "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming." That's when the time of the Gentiles will end. "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations. As he fights in the day of battle, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azal. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. It shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light, the lights will diminish. It shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but at evening time it shall happen that it will be light. And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name one. All the land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be raised up and inhabited in a place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate and the corner gate, and from the town of Hananel to the king's wine presses. The people shall dwell in it. No longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongue shall dissolve in their mouths. It's as though a nuclear bomb has fallen. It shall come to pass in that day that a great panic from the Lord will be among them. Everyone will seize the hand of his neighbor and raise his hand against his neighbor's hand. Judah also will fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nations shall be gathered together, gold, silver, and apparel in great abundance. Such also shall be the plague on the horse and the mule, on the camel and the donkey, and all the cattle that will be in those camps. So shall this plague be. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the feast of tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. Everyone who sacrifices shall come and take them and cook in them. In that day, there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Now note, these two witnesses that are mentioned in Revelation 11, they minister during the first half of the tribulation. And they do that for 260 days. Revelation 11 verse 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1260 days. Sorry, not 260 days, 1260 days. Clothed in sackcloth. Jerusalem is then overrun by the Gentiles. For how long? For 42 months. The last half of the tribulation. Their witness, the witness of these two witnesses, the testimony of these two witnesses is related to Israel. And it's also related to the temple. Revelation 11 verse 2 and 3. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1260 days. Clothed in sackcloth. Now how tragic it is. The power of God and the word of God will be outside the temple and not within it, as in the former days. Like that temple that Jesus left, this new house will be desolate. Matthew 23 verse 38. See, your house is left to you desolate. Now these two men are specifically called prophets. In Revelation 11 verse 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now I take this to mean the prophetic ministry in the Old Testament. In that sense, not the gift of prophecy that we have been studying. This is the prophetic ministry in the Old Testament. What is that? Calling the nations to repent. Calling the nations to repent and to return to the true God of Israel. And not only do these witnesses declare God's words, but they also do God's works. They declare God's words, they do God's works, they perform miracles of judgment. Revelation 11 verses 4 to 6. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven, so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Now this reminds us, these two witnesses remind us of Moses and Elijah. Exodus chapter 7 verses 14 to 18. So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood, and the fish that are in the river shall die. The river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. Remember Revelation 11 verse 6. These have power to shut heaven, so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. In 1 Kings chapter 17 we read of Elijah. And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. And you see again in 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Now Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and was injured. So he sent messengers and said to them, "Go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there is no god in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die." So Elijah departed. And when the messengers returned to him, he said to them, "Why have you come back?" So they said to him, "A man came up to meet us and said to us, 'Go return to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, is it because there is no god in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.'" Then he said to them, What kind of man was it who came up to meet you and told you these words?" So they answered him, "A hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist." And he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. So he went up to him, and there he was sitting on the top of a hill. And he spoke to him, "Man of God, the king has said, come down." So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, "If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Then he sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50 men. And he answered and said to him, "Man of God, thus has the king said, come down quickly." So Elijah answered and said to them, If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So there is a lot of parallel of these two witnesses with Moses and Elijah. And some students, they cite Malachi chapter 4 verses 5 to 6 as evidence that one of the two witnesses may be Elijah. Malachi chapter 4 verses 5 to 6, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." But Jesus applied that prophecy to John the Baptist. Matthew 17 verses 10 to 13. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. But John the Baptist, he denies that he was Elijah returned to earth. John chapter 1 verse 21. And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." John 1:25. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" Luke chapter 1 verse 16-17. "And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now this confusion may be explained in part by realizing throughout Israel's history, God sent special messengers. He sent special messengers. He sent Elijahs. He sent Elijahs to call his people to repentance. So in this sense, Malachi's prophecy will be fulfilled by these witnesses. Instead of relating the ministry of the witnesses to Moses and Elijah, the angel who spoke to John, what does he say? He connects their ministry, the ministry of these two witnesses, with Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest. Revelation chapter 11 verse 4. "These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth." And you see that in Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4 verses 1 to 14. Now the angel who talked with me came back and awakened me as a man who was wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left." So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." Remember, Zerubbabel was the one who was instrumental in rebuilding. After a return from captivity, when Judah returned from captivity in Babylon after 70 years of captivity, under Zerubbabel, they rebuilt. "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone which shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hand shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For those seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." Then I answered and said to him, "What are these two olive trees at the right hand of the lampstand, and at its left?" And I further answered and said to him, "What are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains?" And he answered me and said, Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." So he said, "These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth." So these two men, Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest. Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel, there, what did they do? They re-established Israel. After captivity, 70 years of captivity from Babylon, they returned. And under Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest, they re-established Israel. They rebuilt the temple after the exile of 70 years and returned to Judah. It was a very discouraging task. And the Gentiles who surrounded them, they made it even more difficult. But God provided the special power, the power of the Holy Spirit, that they needed to get the work done. And this truth is an encouragement to us. It's an encouragement to all of God's servants in all ages. Because the work of the Lord, it is never easy. The work of God is never easy. There will always be attacks. There will always be, the darts that the enemy throws at the servants of God. It's not easy at all. God's work is not easy at all. It's a constant battle till the last day. That's why Paul, towards the end of the race, says, "I fought the good fight. I have run the race." It's a battle till the end. But what does God do? God gives us, His servants, special power that is needed to get the work done. And this is therefore a tremendous encouragement to all of God's servants. The work of the Lord through the servants of God can never be frustrated. All that the servants of God need to do is to humbly depend on the Lord. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, say the Lord. And that's why it's so important for servants of God to wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as the eagle. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. We can do God's work. And let me say this, you are immortal till the work of God is accomplished through you. You are immortal till the work of God is accomplished with you. Nothing can frustrate the work of God that He will accomplish through you till the last day. So, no weapon forged against you will prosper. No weapon forged against you will prosper. Satan will try all different kinds of techniques to discourage God's servants, to defeat God's servants. But we must press on and continue to do His work. Whether the fire is burning or whether the tree is falling, you press on. You press on to do the work of God, and God will fulfill His work, because it is His work, and He will give the power, the strength to do His work. Zechariah 4:6, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So this is why Jesus instructed us that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is essential. This is why Jesus made it very clear. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is essential for what? For the ministry. For the ministry. To be empowered to do God's work, we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized." How? With the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. Actually, that word "with," better translated "in." The word is actually "en" in Greek, which is better translated "in." Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jesus pours His Spirit upon His children. For what? To do the work. For the work that He has called us to do, He empowers us. He pours out His Spirit. You shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then what will happen? And you shall be witnesses to Me. Where? In Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So the witnesses will do the work of God. And what will happen to them? As they do the work of God, what will happen to them? They'll be martyred. And you have the martyrdom of the witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, verses 7 to 10. The martyrdom of the witnesses. Revelation 11, verses 7 to 10. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. There also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. You see, they're calling for repentance. They're calling for repentance. And they are convicting people. The Holy Spirit is convicting people. And there will be people who respond. But there will be so many who do not respond. Who hate these two witnesses. They can't touch them because God protects them. But this happens, this killing, the martyrdom of these two witnesses happens only after they have finished their testimony. That's why it says when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them and kill them. You see, God's obedient servants, they are immortal until the work is done. When the work is finished, they may be killed. The beast, who's the beast? The Antichrist. He is now in power and he wants to take over the temple. He wants to take over the temple. But he cannot succeed. Until the two witnesses are out of the way, he can't succeed. So God will permit him, the beast, the Antichrist, to slay these two witnesses. For no one will be able to make war against the beast and win. Revelation chapter 13 verse 4. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast saying, "Who's like the beast? Who's able to make war with him?" And these witnesses, they will not be permitted to have a decent burial. Psalm 79 verses 1 to 3. O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. What is that? Your holy temple. Your holy temple they have defiled. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps. The dead bodies of your servants. This is what happened when Babylon invaded Jerusalem and destroyed, burnt the temple. burnt the temple. They entered the temple, they destroyed the dead bodies of your servants. They have given us food for the birds of the heavens, the flesh of your saints to the beasts of the earth. Their blood they have shed like water all around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. No one to bury them. But even this indecency of not burying these two witnesses, even that will be used by God. Remember, He is on the throne. Used by God for what? To bear witness to mankind. No doubt there will be TV cameras in Jerusalem at that time. They will transmit this whole scene to people all around the world, and news will flash. And all over the news, it will flash. And the news analysis, we see, what will they do? They'll discuss. They'll discuss its significance. And remember the earth dwellers. The earth dwellers are people who do not receive the testimony. They are the ones who reject the truth about Jesus. The earth dwellers, what will they do? They will rejoice because their enemies, these two witnesses, have been removed. And what will they do at that point? They will celebrate. What celebration? Like, it will be a satanic Christmas. They'll give gifts. They'll give gifts to one another because these two witnesses are killed. So it appears that the power of these two witnesses, it won't be limited to Jerusalem. They will be able to cause things to happen in other parts of the world. And these two prophets will definitely have a relationship with Israel. And the world, for the most part, today what we see is we are heading towards this. We are heading towards this because the world, on the most part of the world, is anti-Israel. Anti-Israel. Anti-Semitic means anti-Israel. There's so much all over the world. People hate Israel. They hate Israel. Now, in the middle of the tribulation, what will happen is this beast who has made a pact with Israel, he will turn against Israel. And then he will persecute the Jews. He'll persecute the Jews. See, anti-Semitism today, which is prevalent all over the world, it will reach its peak in the middle of the tribulation. And the two witnesses will not be around. They won't be there to protect the nation of Israel. And a frightening anti-Semitic movement will follow. Jerusalem, it's called a great city, Revelation 11 verse 8. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now Jerusalem is a great city. It's called a great city from a human viewpoint. And that's a true statement. It's a great city from a human viewpoint. But God looks at men and nations. How does God look? He looks from a spiritual viewpoint. And to Him, Jerusalem will be considered as a polluted, as worldly as Sodom, and as rebellious and proud as Egypt. Then what happens? Revelation verses 11, chapter 11, verse 11 to 14. There will be the resurrection of the witnesses. Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake 7,000 people were killed. And the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Now miraculously, the two witnesses, they are not only raised from the dead, but they are caught up into heaven. And God rescues them from their enemies and gives a solemn witness, because the whole world will be watching. It will be on the TV screens of every channel. And the world's great joy will suddenly become great fear. Now we need to note that word great. In Revelation chapter 11 verses 1 to 19, that word great is repeated 8 times. So are we to interpret now these 3.5 days, are we to interpret it literally? These days appear to be literal days, just as the 42 months in Revelation 11 verse 2 are literal months. So these are literal days. The Bible does not explain why this length of time was chosen. Why 3.5 days? It's useless for us to speculate. It's God who decides. Now, when Jesus ascended to heaven, his friends, his followers, they watched him ascending to heaven. Acts chapter 1 verses 9 to 11. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, his followers, his disciples, his friends, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them, that is on the earth, with them, in white apparel. And what did these two men say? Who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So our Lord's friends, they watched him as he ascended to heaven. Is it on top of the roof or not inside this? No? Anyway. So our Lord's friends watched him ascend to heaven. But look at these enemies of the Lord. These enemies of these two witnesses. They will see these two witnesses resurrected, and they will be shaken with fear. Revelation chapter 11 verse 11. Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. Now this fear will increase because a great earthquake occurs immediately, killing 7,000 men, destroying a tenth part of Jerusalem. Revelation 11 verse 13. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now when the sixth seal was opened, in Revelation 6 verse 12, remember there was a great earthquake. "And I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood." So a great earthquake occurred when the sixth seal was opened, and there will be a greater earthquake when the seventh vial is poured out. That is in Revelation 16, and the vial judgments come. The bold judgments. Revelation 16 verses 18 to 20. "And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not they were not found." So this is where we will stop now, because you look into the rest of the chapter, God willing, next time. We saw the testimony of the two witnesses and how they were killed and resurrected and taken up into heaven. All that we read and study here, we see also today. When the gospel is proclaimed, some will respond positively. They'll repent, they'll turn, they'll believe, they'll trust, they'll experience salvation, the joy of eternal life, the joy of abundant life. And there will be also be a vast majority that rejects the truth, because narrow is the way that leads to life, broad is the way that leads to destruction. So there will be many, many who will reject the truth about God, and by their willful choice they will reject heaven and make a choice into hell. God does not desire that any should perish. That's why God gives mankind a long rope. He gives man abundance of time to repent. But there will be a day of reckoning when there will no longer be any more opportunity to repent. And then comes the judgment. So, what do we learn from this? From this, I believe, just like these two witnesses, empowered by God to do the work of God, we must also, as God's children, as His servants, what must we do? Receive the strength and the power that God gives us, no matter what obstacle comes in the way, to press on through the work, because we are immortal till the work of God through us is accomplished. And when that is finished, whether we are killed or whether we are raptured, it is the Lord's sovereign will. But we must be faithful. Faithful till the end. Because He rewards the faithful. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Abhishek, would you lead us in prayer?
Thank you, Father, for this time, for your word, Lord Jesus. Father, I submit ourselves, Father, into your hands, Lord. Thank you, Father, for teaching us, Lord Jesus, this book, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're sharing your understanding with us, Lord, through you.